From Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
Thank you so much, Aaron, and welcome into our program today, Life Change Weekend. It's always great to get to the weekend. Usually things change for all of us on the weekend. And today, of course, we continue with our broadcast, and we're glad for all of you that are listening in. And as you know, we have testimonies from people, and people share life stories. People talk about books they've written, talk about what God's been doing in their life. And Saturday is always a great time to do that. Don't forget, we have our regular Bible studies Monday through Friday. And you join us. You can just check in the station where you're on in the area. And we especially want to say a big welcome to all the people that are in the Montrose, Pennsylvania area today. Bob Kadlicek has been a wonderful help to us on the weekend editions. Of course, we have many people joining us on that now. And today, instead of just talking about Bible, I shouldn't say just talking, about Bible talk is great. But we ought to talk a little bit about the way the Lord has led him in his ministry in the Montrose, Pennsylvania area. So all of those of you in that area, I trust this will be a blessing. To those of you that are on the other stations, many of them down the East Coast, and many are going across different places in America in our online programming, thank you for listening in. And those of you that are overseas, we're glad that you're listening in. And we want to talk today about church growth and what God has been doing. So, Pastor Bob, welcome to the program today.
It is great to be with you, Dino. And appreciating what God has done through your ministry, and it's neat to see what God's doing all over.
Yeah, there's some wonderful things happening. There really are. People often talk about, you know, where are the churches that are growing? And I have a lot of them that are growing right now. And some churches that may not be growing as fast as others, but they're good churches and there's great futures for them. And some people are down on the church because of past experiences, but it's always a joy to find what God is doing. So we want to talk a little bit about your life today, Bob, and how God has blessed you through the years. You were in your home church. Tell us a little bit about that story. I believe that was First Baptist Church of Johnson City. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. So I could say, you know, I was at my first church for 34 years, but only 9 of those were as a pastor. Some of that literally a baby in the nursery. In fact, you know, ministry is about relationships. And as a kid growing up in church, I did not pay attention to the older folks in the church. You know, as a teenager, and unless they were my Sunday school teacher, you know, and so as a pastor one time had a older lady, Pat Mikelski, and she would come in every morning and I'd say, "Hey, good morning." But I'd never say her name because I didn't know it, you know? And so one Sunday morning she stops and she cocks her eye head at me and says, "You don't know my name, do you?" And I said, "No, I don't." She goes, "I changed your diapers and you don't know my name." And I said, "I'm sorry." I never forgot Pat Mikelski's name after that. And it just, she really said it with a great deal of fondness and love for me, but, you know, just trying to helping me out to remember people's names in the congregation. So,
yeah, it reminds me, a few weeks ago as a church I preach at often, and I was there, and there's a couple always come by. They're very friendly. I don't know their names. I was talking to them, and the man said, "Now, my wife, Debbie," and they said it again, "and my wife, Debbie," he winked at me and said, "I get it. I'm getting it. And if she will tell me your name, we'll be in good shape here."
Well, and you know, one of the things about growing up in the church that I was a pastor at, I was an associate pastor there for 9 years, was that people appreciate being able to contribute to your life. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't just a pastor that contributed to the people. I was someone that those people had contributed in my life. You know, they've been my youth sponsors or Sunday school teachers or in other ways had really just contributed to my life and helped me become who I was. I think that is something that sometimes we overlook as a strength in ministry. You might think, oh, you know, I'm always asking some people for help, but that actually can be an inroad into people's lives and into spiritual conversations. Mm-hmm. I had a neighbor, Dan, and I would invite him to church. He wouldn't come, would try to strike up conversations, and he just kind of standoffish. And then one day I had heard he had used to had a body shop in his garage right next to his house. And I asked him, I said, you know, my car is kind of getting rusted. Could you help me? I'll pay you. And he's like, what? Pay me? No, bring it over. And he, boy, he knew what he was doing. And he took some of the rust off and he got a plate of metal to put on. And then he, you know, put it on and just made it completely smooth and looked as good as new. And I was amazed and I was so thankful. And you know what? That opened a conversation and a relationship that we could have that I think if I had shoveled his walk, you know, if I had done things for him, it wouldn't have opened his heart up so much as allowing him to do something for me.
Yeah, well, that's a beautiful story. That is so true about relationships. Now, when you went to First Baptist, who was the pastor that brought you on there?
Stan Kempton was his name, and his father was Wendell Kempton, which I was just reading about, was kind of a chaplain to guys like Mike Schmidt and a lot of professional baseball and basketball players. But Stan was an incredibly good mentor to me in showing me, you know, what ministry is about. He really, the biggest change that he brought about at the church, you know, the church didn't explode in numbers. I mean, it did grow a little bit, but the biggest change was it just went from a very legalistic church to just more gracious and loving and accepting and open to people. And that took years. And then he left and we had another pastor, Jim Murphy, who's still there now, that came on. But yes, and this is something even in my own ministry. And, you know, older people, a lot of times, sometimes older people get frustrated and they're like, you know, we're supposed to be teaching and training the younger people. And how come they don't come to us to be listen to our wisdom? And I think it's the other way around. Like we as older pastors, and now I'm older than Stan was when he was mentoring me. And we have to seek out people. And a lot of listeners aren't pastors, but they should do the same thing. Just reach out to others and just talk to them about life and just give those insights. Stan just did an amazing job with that about how to counsel people. Just so many good insights in ministry that I gleaned from him when I was there.
Yeah, I knew Stan a little bit when I was in the community. I remember Jim, of course, very well. I preached at that church several times. When Jim came, I remember he set out to, the church had this property and set out to build this building. What a magnificent auditorium they have. One of the best, I'm sure, in the community. I remember when I was there, I don't remember how many years ago, Bob, but David Jeremiah spoke there one time, and I think, I don't know how many people they had there, I think they seat 1,800, and it was a, for that area, there was a huge, huge auditorium, and they had a huge crowd there, and I still don't think they filled that up, but it was a gorgeous, gorgeous auditorium they have there, and so that was a good ministry for you there, and then you left there, and you came, well, tell us where you came.
Well, yeah, then I came to Bridgewater Church in Montrose, Pennsylvania, and I actually had applied at a church like in Unadilla, New York, and the pastor who was an interim pastor there basically called me up and said, you don't want to come here. this church
will
not fit you. It is not. I know you from, you know, we knew each other from Baptist Bible College. But he said, but I know the church you should go to. And he mentioned Bridgewater Church in Montrose. And I had met another man there as well, Reggie Russell, who had invited me to come. And I just thought it was too close to my home in Johnson City. I mean, it's just a 40-minute drive from my house. And I thought maybe people will leave my church and follow me, which was probably arrogant because nobody did. And I wasn't sure about rural ministry either. There can definitely be a bad ambition that's rooted in pride, but I think we should have a holy ambition to desire to do great things for our great Lord. And that's definitely something that I want with my life. I don't want to be famous, but I want to be useful. And so I thought, can I be really that useful in a town of 1,400 people? And then as I thought about it, I thought, how many people can I know? How many names can I remember? How many relationships can I form? There's no way I can form 1,000 relationships. So even a small town, I thought, you know what? I can do as much as God could use me to do, even in a smaller place like Montrose. And so I looked into it and they said yes, and I said yes. So I've been here for almost 20 years now since.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Great, great testimony. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dina Padron talking to you. And Bob Kadlecic is on with us today. We're talking about how God has led in his life. I want to remind all of you that live in the Stuart, Florida area that the program that we did last fall is coming back on again for a 13-week set again on Fox News, WSTU. And it's going to be a 26-week period of time that we'll be on. We're looking forward to it. It's called The Pastor's Kid and the Pastor. And we deal with a lot of the issues that are in that community and life. And so please join us. It's on Friday night, WSTU, at 5:05 p.m. Now, in the Binghamton, Montrose area, that's been a historic area for, in fact, I think at one time, back in my early day, that was the Bible Belt of that area. We had the colleges, two colleges, Bible colleges there, churches there all over the place in that community. And there's a lot of wonderful things that happened there. I've read the story of R.A. Torrey, but I know you know him well and studying him and reading about him and how he came to the Montrose Bible Conference, and that huge conference was built there. I remember as a child on weekdays in the summer and Saturday nights, we went there and heard some of the greatest preachers and some of the greatest of people. And yet things change over generations, don't they? When you came, it's a different world from that world. That was a magnificent time for the gospel. It challenged me as a young boy when I would go to those conferences and listen to all of that. But when you came there, it was a little bit different than that, wasn't it, Bob?
Yeah, in fact, Susquehanna County, so I would say Broome County, which is, you know, the southern tier of New York, Binghamton area, is predominantly Catholic. And so evangelical Protestant would be a minority up there. But Susquehanna County was predominantly nothing and still is. Over two-thirds of the county are nuns, none of the above, and only 10% Catholic, 10% mainline Protestant, which mostly is Methodist, and then about 5% or 1 in 20 people would be an evangelical Protestant, which includes Charismatics and Seventh-day Adventists and Baptists and non-denominational. I mean, that's a pretty broad bucket, and only 5%. Are that. And in fact, it was 2% when I moved to the county. So, you know, I think sometimes we get in silos and we don't realize what's happening around us. When I came to Montrose, there were people that were saying and really believed, like, this is such a beautiful, quaint, picturesque town. And it certainly is. And they're like, what a wonderful place to raise your family. So many just down to earth, and we're kind of blind to the fact that there's a drug epidemic, that we have just hundreds of foster kids because of the homes that they're in and they have to be taken from. Just really ugly stuff. Suicide. At one point, we were the first or second most likely county in Pennsylvania for someone to kill themselves in. I don't know anyone who doesn't know someone who's taken their life. And there is a spiritual brokenness here. And one of the things that we understand is the cavalry is not coming. Like there isn't a movement in Bible colleges or Christian schools or anywhere that is like, man, let's go reach rural America. You know, that we're on our own. And there is a spiritual brokenness here, but there is a spiritual light that I see as well. And I think, you know, the darker the world becomes, the brighter God's light can shine. And so it is. It has a great history. Yeah, there was a famous hymn writer, John W. Peterson, who wrote lots of hymns that people would remember. And then he came with Al Smith, who also wrote hymns. And even before them, there's the Bible Conference with R.A. Torrey. So there's all this great history in the area. But really recently, there's been a huge spiritual hole. And that's what I think God's called me to help fill and see a revival here.
Yeah, we're glad you're there, Bob. I remember Al Smith well. In fact, I participated in his funeral. He was a master at music. He really was at writing hymns. And I used to host conferences, and he often would speak at them. And elderly man that was capturing everybody with his music back in the day. And of course, R.A. Torrey was a greatly known evangelist. Again, you're listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dina Padron talking to you. Glad you're listening in. Here's some letters that we love that have been sent in. This one is from Tampa, Florida. It says, thank you for the copies of the book, The Path. We appreciate it, and we are using those in our Bible studies at our church. And here's another one that is from Stuart, Florida. We love this one. It says, we just accepted Jesus Christ after your broadcast today. Thank you so much for the programs that you put out. And we appreciate you writing in. So pray for us here with our ministry, what God is doing. We have an online school now that we thank the Lord for. And you get information simply by going to our webpage at dinopadronministries.org or .com. And you can get information on that. Now, Bob, when you came to Bridgewater, how many people were in your church?
Yeah, so there was about 160 to 170 people on a Sunday. And so one of the things I showed them historically was that our auditorium basically fit about 180 people. You know, there's sat about 200 people. And, you know, but if it's 85% full, you know, that's about 180. And so I said, what we need to do is we need to start another service. And so we did that in April of, so about 6 months after I came, just before Easter Sunday, we started another service, and it was a contemporary music one. And I did not think that would make a huge difference, but it really did. Music is much more powerful than I think it is. And it has much more of a barrier as well. Music that people don't like and don't understand and is foreign to them is really a bigger barrier than I thought. So we went from, you know, 160, 70 people to almost 300 people overnight. And then it just continued to grow to 400 or 500. And actually, you know, last year we became a mega church with about 2,000 people. But a lot of that was because we ran out of space and we didn't have enough money to build a new building. And so we said, well, either we have to wait for years and years and years while we save money, or we need to start another service in a different location. And so that's kind of how we sold it. We are at that point doing three services. In 2011, we were doing an 8 o'clock, a 9:30, and an 11 o'clock service. We actually had Sunday school in about three or four local businesses. There was a Liberty Park Carpet that had our junior high. There was some other adult classes at places like DDOTS and other storefronts in town that we're allowed to use their space because we had no room in our church. So, but we said, let's start a fourth service. The only difference is it'll be in Halstead, 25-minute drive away, and not here. And we'll have live preaching there as well. It'll be kind of the same idea. And people kind of grasped that, and they thought, okay, yeah, we could do that. We'll do four services. And so then at Halstead, started off, and actually probably months in, we were talking about canceling it because people weren't coming. It started really well, and then it kind of dribbled down to maybe 70 or 80 people, and we were meeting in a bingo hall, and it smelled like smoke, and the ceilings were low, and you know, everything about it was kind of not great. But then probably 3 or 4 months in, things started to turn around, people started to come more, and then 8 or 9 months in was the first time someone got saved through that ministry. And I mean, now we had over 110 people saved last year, 116 baptized. And to think in that first little place, you know, the meeting room of a bingo hall of a VFW, that we didn't have anyone saved for the first 8 or 9 months, it really is amazing how things have changed and how being faithful, even when, you know, you don't see results immediately, but you really feel like this is the best thing we could be doing for God. God honors that. And we've gone from 160 or 70 to over 2,000 people now.
Now, it's a wonderful story, Bob. Now, how many go to the Montrose campus?
So we average a little over 600 every Sunday, which is weird because the town of Montrose is 1,400 people. And it's the largest town in the county. The county seat. There's no bigger town around. And people drive in, you know, from other places. The Montrose zip code is probably 7,000 or 8,000 people. So there are people around. They're just, you know, in their Ford F-150s out in the country. So
yeah, it's a great story what God is doing there, Bob. And we are so blessed to hear the story. I want you to know that how thankful we are to hear this kind of story. Our time is about up here, Bob, but you can come back, I guess, next week and finish the story for us, right? Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. I want to thank you all for listening into the program today. And again, this is a Life Change Weekend, and you're listening into our program. It comes to you out of Florida. It's kind of an amazing story here. We have these programs that we do. We send them into the Dropbox. It ends up in Texas, and from Texas, it goes back to your area, Bob, into Montrose, and then from Montrose, it goes out to many places around the world now, for which we're thankful. And we are especially thankful for the gospel that's going forward. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing there in the Montrose and that surrounding area. I want to remind you, our Bible studies are Monday through Friday. Just simply join us, find out when we're on there in your area. And we go through the Word of God Monday through Thursday. I teach, and then on Friday, we have one of our colleagues come on and spend some time with us going through God's Word. And the Word of God is what we really need today and what is really, really important. And so God's Word is so precious and special to all of us. So we want you to join us for that time of Bible study. And also, again, you can go to DeanPedroMinistries.com/org and see other areas of our ministry, including our online school. Have a blessed day. Remember, life changes for all of us. And my goodness, we all need life change.
You have been listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padron Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. That's dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.